You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show, Controversy Prince. Where do we start today? There's so many things coming down the pipe and there's so many things we want to talk about, but unfortunately can't talk about everything at once. It would just be mumbo jumbo. But what I did do, because of the many issues, and we talk about separation of church and state, and we talk about the civil unions bill, and I'll call it that because I'm really concerned, as many have pointed out. There's an effort to always label this bill or this effort as same sex, in that it's my understanding and reading of the bill and the intent of it, and many people benefit, not just those that are gay or lesbian or whatever, you want the quote same sex. But there are things in some states that cause common law. Who are those people and how are they impacted? But anyway, I just this is nothing to do with my guests who are going to come on shortly, Michael Ballou and Holly Huber. Holly is from the Hawaii separation of state and church. And Mike is from PFLAG and...
The GOPC Caucus, the Democratic Party.
Okay. But what I wanted to do right now is I've been doing a lot of research, and as you know, we've had the International Transformation Network on, and we've had Bruce Wilson trying to ferret out some of this activity that goes on where nonprofits who are religious-based that are actively participating in that role, but as also going to the halls of the legislators and influencing them. So seeing that, I see our mayor, I see many of the state and federal officials that have no problem going to the Catholic Church functions and what have you. And I would like to, as controversial as this sounds, it's time to ask the question openly. How is it that they can go, our leaders now, this is speaking of the politicians, how is it that the politicians can go and be a part of these functions at the Catholic Foundation, Catholic Forums, and what have you, while actively and aggressively trying to prevent, quote, same-sex or civil union and speaking out against gay and lesbian and what have you, when within the Catholic Church, we historically now, criminal activity, pedophilia, and what have you, but they seem to not have any desire to stay away from that. I would think that they should, they being the politicians, I would like to see legislation where they've invoked or initiated, try and pass, have a clear and investigative process to investigate charges. Don't leave it up to the individual victim within the Catholic Church here in this state that would in fact have to fight for themselves and prove that they were. We need legislation to speak specifically to that. So however it settles with you, that's my thoughts and that's my concern. So anyway, give me a call or throw me a Molotov cocktail, but that's my thoughts and they will stand that way. We need to have some questions answered and asked. And it's time. I see Mufi Hanneman. He's there at the when there's a Catholic forum. I see Senator Danny Noy. I see City Councilman. And they're all flocking there, but where are they when it comes to the issues of civil union? Why aren't they out there participating? These are people that are free people that are supposed to be registered and represented by all. So having said all of that, Holly, good morning. How are you? And Michael, thank you for joining me. I hope that as you walk out of here, they don't throw stones at you, but it's time to ask questions. And
I'm used to it. It's okay.
So, tell me a little bit, tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves and what's going on. And Holly, your organization filed a complaint with the IRS against the Hawaii Family Forum.
That's correct. I'm with the Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church. And we filed a 13-page complaint to the IRS. And this included about 200 pages of exhibits. And we were reporting potential tax abuse by the Hawaii Family Forum. The information came to light through Michael Galoya Jr., who had brought up the fact, he's an activist, he's very busy at the state capitol, and he has seen over the years the Hawaii Family Forum engage in excessive lobbying, which would be fine if they were a lobbying organization, but they claim to be a nonprofit, a 501c3. And there are very strict regulations regarding the amount of lobbying a nonprofit can do. So we decided to do a little investigation, and just using publicly available documents, the IRS 990 forms that the that nonprofits are required to file, Ethics Commission's filings, as well as the Hawaii Family Forum's own website, and we were able to determine that they do about 100% lobbying activity. It's mm-hmm. all political advocacy, and they have no charitable programs whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Yeah, like Holly said, I've been busy down at the Capitol, and I wear many different hats. I'm with PFLAG Oahu, which is Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, but I also wear my political hat. I'm vice chair of the GLBT Caucus of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Unlike my good friend Francis Oda, who wears only one hat, and that is a hat of nonprofit, religious-based. Everything he does has a nonprofit, religious base. and he doesn't give us a level playing field when he does that.
Mm-hmm.
We do our advocacy. I do my my political advocacy under the GLBT caucus, and then I have my nonprofit education hat under PFLAG Oahu, where we follow the laws and we follow the strict guidelines that the IRS has set out when it comes to dealing with nonprofits and what you're allowed to do and what you are allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do when it comes to this. And it's been a travesty what we've seen down at the Capitol with Hawaii Family Forum to get away with this for almost 12 years. 7 years we have documentation on, 12 years of their since the infancy of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I've seen it for the last 10 years where these people just go down there and they use our taxpayer dollars, for lack of a better term, to lobby against my rights, against your rights. And I say your rights because it is everybody's rights when you are talking about marginalizing any group of people. When
mm-hmm.
you marginalize the gay community, when you marginalize the women's movement, when it comes to a woman's right to choose, these are the same people you see time and time again, and it's just not fair.
It's religious based, and I don't have any objection or even a real opinion on someone's religion and their beliefs, but I become concerned when, after they get through praying and practice their religious beliefs and whatever the rituals are, they put that aside and then head to the legislative process and not only participate, as in a democracy and voting, and there's clear evidence of manipulating and influencing behind the scenes and then actually orchestrating and putting people, voting them in so that they could then influence. So it's something that's troubling. And in your complaint there, now I want to make sure that the public understand, the HCSSC has filed a complaint with the IRS now. These are allegations that they've made, and it is a 13-page document, and we posted it up. You can see it at carolcox.com, or you can contact the HCSSC. Do you have a number, Holly?
Actually, just go online and do a Google for HCSSC or Hawaii Citizens, and you'll get to our website.
Okay.
I want to clarify that Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church is a very loose organization. We're not a nonprofit. We don't raise money. We don't spend money except out of our own pocket. And we've never done so. We've never raised money. We have accomplished so much
mm-hmm.
over the years. When you look at the website, it just goes on and on, all the different battles that we have fought and won, and we've managed to do that with no funding
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. And yet I look at the Hawaii Family Forum website, they're quite well funded, and yet they do nothing but lobby. They
mm-hmm.
have no accomplishments and no charitable purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, and my concern, because now that I'm aware, the same names seem to play the roundabout cheers. You know, what's that game you walk in a circle and the music stops and
musical
sit down.
Chairs.
Musical chairs. Well, these folks seem to be playing musical chairs, and they're targeting, they are opposed to the Judaism, Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They're opposed to Buddhism, Hinduism, because they want it to be a Christian state. And our legislators have been present, like the lieutenant governor has been present, making declaration that he's going to dedicate the state and the people and the language and the kids and all to Christianity, and that's not fair to all of us. So that's why I can appreciate the separation of church and state, the state and church issues that you folks are always watching. Some of us don't know it until it's in our lap and see when we see the real impact. But 524-1080 if you have a question or a statement for Mike or Holly. And Hannah, are you there? Got a phone call? Real quick.
Hi, Carol. Good morning.
Good morning.
The question I will have in my mind is, since 501c3 organizations are not allowed to give money to a non-501c3 organization, if the Hawaii Family Forum loses their tax exemption, what effect will this have on organizations which they've affiliated with and which they release material, which they seem to have no distinguished, particularly in the Hawaii Catholic Conference and even the Roman Catholic Church? I don't
mm-hmm.
want to speculate, but what can they say definitively about that connection?
Well, I would say if one entity starts off, this is just my opinion, but if one entity starts off by getting money legitimately under a nonprofit banner, and start to pass it out and disseminate it to others improperly, that is tainted. And you follow the line, and whoever received it, it's tainted money, and it should not be, it's illegal to use if, in fact, it's given away in controversy to controverting the laws of the state or the federal IRS. But, Holly?
Well, that brings up an interesting point. The Hawaii Family Forum has, in fact, had an unholy alliance with the Roman Catholic Church of Hawaii for a number of years. And what's interesting is they're very forthcoming in their lobbying activities. Their letterhead specifically states that it is a joint effort between the Hawaii Family Forum and the Hawaii Catholic Conference to lobby the legislature. There is a sharing of employees where the administrative assistant as well as the executive director work for both organizations.
Mm-hmm.
However, they have never reported that relationship to the IRS, which is in violation of nonprofit regulations. And so it appears they are covering some things up. They do get free rent and utilities from the Roman Catholic Church, so the Hawaii Family Forum doesn't have to pay normal office expenses like most nonprofits would have
mm-hmm.
to, and yet they don't report those very significant contributions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question they raised about what if Hawaii Family Forum is not is declared as not a nonprofit, the IRS is very clear about that. An organization that engages in excessive lobbying activity over a four-year period may lose its tax-exempt status, making all of its income for that period subject to tax. Should the organization exceed its lobbying expenditure dollar limit in a particular year, it must pay an excise tax equal to 25% of the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So there are strict penalties regarding this behavior.
Right. Well,
yes. The only question I had was, what happens, is this sort of retroactive, and would that sort of cascade outwards to all the other donors, both individual donors and other 501c3 churches, which have given money?
Well, most churches are not 501c3. They do not fall under the requirements of 501c3 reporting. If you try to find out public information regarding the Roman Catholic Church of Hawaii, there's nothing available. They do not have to file IRS tax form 990s. That churches can basically are exempt from that kind of reporting. However, 501c3 organizations, some of which may be religious-based, they do have a concern that funding, for example, Hawaii Family Forum has some large donors. Some people give them $30,000 a year. And if you're making a donation to a nonprofit and you're writing that off on your taxes, whether you're an organization or an individual, and then that nonprofit is no longer declared a nonprofit, you have to be concerned that you are then going to be liable for taxes on that write-off.
Yeah, and
was that 7 years, right, because of the statute of limitations?
I'm not an accountant, and I don't work for the IRS, so I don't know the specific.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics about that.
Well, the
okay.
limitations, some instances, if federal agencies, it's upon discovery or becoming informed of the violation, the clock starts in some instances. But it would require, in answering more specifically to your question, it would require, first of all, the IRS making a finding and then declaring that it was improper or ill-gotten gains, and then in turn would probably have to work back upstream, so to speak. But also, if there are people out there that have specific information, I would encourage you to write a letter to the IRS and inform them and make an attachment or make a reference to this complaint. And in support of this, I think that's how it's, because the other side is not going to openly declare and report on themselves anything that they've been doing improperly, and we won't fault them for that. That's just being protecting oneself. So anyway, Hannah, thank you.
Thank you very much, and thanks and good work to your guests for their good citizenship that they've shown.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Good. Well, you know, we're going to not jump tracks. It's all related. Michael, a week or so ago, we talked about the round table, and we've seen it in the newspapers and what have you. If you could, for the listeners, because I've had a couple listeners call and ask, well, an update on the number of companies that remove themselves or not in alignment with the round table any longer. Can you tell us how many has sent a letter? and tell us the ones that have failed to remove their names or clarify that they are not supporting this letter asking the governor to veto the bill HB 444.
I'd be happy to. Actually, they are extremely related because you have a board member on the Hawaii Family Forum that sits on the executive roundtable committee that issued the letter to Governor Lingle asking her to veto. As of this week, we reached 50% of the executive committee that supposedly issued this letter to Governor Lingle asking her to veto it have backed off of that. And then we've reached over 50% of the general membership because even though they were reporting 48 members when we actually did our due diligence and when they found out, they only had 46 members. The Star Advertiser we're the Star Bulletin. The Honolulu Advertiser, sorry. The Honolulu Advertiser was on there, but now as the Star Bulletin, Star Advertiser, they are no longer on the Hawaii Roundtable. And so as of today, these are the companies that are that have supporting HB 444 have totally distanced themselves from the letter that was sent to her. Alexander and Baldwin, Aon Risk Services of Hawaii, Bank of Hawaii, Castle Medical Center, City Mill Company, Coldwell Banker, DFS, First Hawaiian Bank, Foodland Supermarkets, Hawaii Medical Services Association, HMSA, Hawaii National Bank, Hawaii Pacific Health, Hawaiian Airlines, Hawaiian Electric Company, Hawaiian Electric Industries, Hawaiian Telecom, the James Campbell Company, Kaiser Foundation, Koyoya, which is the Sheraton Waikiki, Marriott International, Marsha McLennan Incorporated, Oceanic Cablevision, Outrigger Enterprises Group, Starwood Hotels and Resorts, and the University of Hawaii.
Who's left? I mean, does anybody actually support the letter on the roundtable?
Unfortunately, we do have. We have Mitch Dolier, who is the president and CEO of Kanoe Ranch. And he's the gentleman that sits on both the Hawaii Business Roundtable as executive committee member, as also he's one of the board members of Hawaii Family Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Civil Beat did a nice little piece on them about the fact, and Gary Kai was like, oh, he has nothing to do with this. He just sits there. He isn't telling us what to do. But I find that really hard to believe when you see that the Hawaii Family Forum has gone out of their way to manipulate the system. You said earlier that these people are behind the scenes, our legislators are behind the scenes. Unfortunately, not necessarily the case. On January 17th, that they had their rally, and I refer to it as a hate rally, because that's all it was it was gay bashing for 2 hours. I was there, and it was, they brought church to the Capitol, and I found that morally repugnant for these people to come to our seat of government here in the state of Hawaii and pray and demand that my rights be squelched. And that all it was 2 hours of them calling for HB 444 to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pinnacle of it was when the retired judge got up there and called for an all-Christian state.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Mufi Hanneman, Mike Gabbert sitting in the audience, Gary Aquino, Bobby Bunda, John Mizuno, Joey Manahan, Lynn Finnegan, sitting there and applauding this judge when he calls for an all-Christian state. And when we are the one most religiously diverse states here in the nation, I don't understand why more people aren't in the arms and aren't disgusted by that. If you're sitting there and somebody's espousing hate and espousing the discrimination, and you sit there and you applaud that,
mm-hmm.
We have to need to hold these people to higher standards, especially with the lieutenant governor getting up there and sharing the stage with Mufi Hanneman. They both shared the same stage, and you don't have to take my word for it. If you go to YouTube, Mgoloyu, look up at my M, it's Mgoloyuch for your listeners, you can hear Mufi Hanneman in his own words. You can hear the judge calling for an all-Christian state, and you can see that these legislators are sitting there and endorsing that by not getting up and walking out. If I was at a rally and somebody called for anybody's viewpoint to be washed away, I'd get up and walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would at least shout out or do something, but these people don't do that. So it is all rolled back into each other, but to get back to your original question about the Hawaii Business Roundtable, who's left sitting there? Harry Sanders of the Castle and Cook, I spoke to him personally, and he goes, we just have questions. These are questions, and they've already been answered, then we're not really anti-gay, but if they've already been answered, then we're good. these people are supposed to be our business leaders. And if our business leaders that are supposed to be helping drive the economic force of Hawaii to move us forward can't go out and do their own due diligence when it comes to the HB 444, what kind of faith can we have, for lack of a better term, put in these people to that they're managing their own businesses properly? And mm-hmm. we're putting, especially when you're talking about Castle and Cook, you're giving them land. So, oh, who else hasn't backed off the litter? Hunt Development Group, we haven't heard a word out of them. The Lieutenant General, Daniel Darnell, who, it was in my understanding that he's supposed to be speaking out against the Commander-in-Chief. Hawaiian Cement, we haven't heard yet back from. Servco Pacific, they have sort of backed off the litter, but nothing really strong that I would actually consider. The gas company, Kobayashi Group, Hawaii Dental Service, Kaiser Foundation, the McNaughton Group, Kamehameha Schools, and I have a lot.
So Kamehameha Schools wants HB 444 vetoed.
They have yet to make one statement one way or the other. They don't sit. They do sit on the executive committee. So they basically, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't come out and scraping them out,
you would think that Kamehameha Schools would be in support of equality.
Yeah, you'd hope. Farmers Insurance, CSWO has been silent on this, Hawaiian Dredging.
Let me ask you, Michael, so the roundtable, the business roundtable, basically it was just the executive committee that drafted this letter calling for the veto of HB 444. And it's my understanding from news reports that many of these members of the business roundtable had no idea what was going on. It was not given to them in advance. They only heard about it after it hit the news, correct?
They were CC'd on it after it was sent to the governor. So, we have Hawaii Divers Jewelry also that we haven't heard mm-hmm. from yet. The Marathon Group. And then what's really interesting is Hoku Scientific was listed as one of their supporters, but they've not been on the round table for 2 months prior to this. So, I think that basically covers all of them,
mm-hmm.
where we stand with the Hawaii Business Roundtable. So, it was amazing to watch the whole thing just crumble in front of their eyes from once it was made public, once the rest of the members knew. When I just spoke to a gentleman over at the James Campbell Company, he goes, you know, our people at HR are pretty smart, and if they thought this was going to cause us a lot of money or cause big problems for us, they would have red flagged HB 444 for us. Mm-hmm. And when Harry Saunders said, well, we didn't know about the bill and this and that, I go, I went and did a quick search, and Castle & Cook does have lobbyists. And if their lobbyists aren't paying attention to things that would negatively impact their bottom line, mm-hmm. then they need to fire those lobbyists.
Yeah. Well, what's troubling here? And this is a humor side of it, and one would say it's borderlining belittling of big companies. But let's say I have a company and I have manufactured robotic pooper scoopers. That's my claim to fame. And I'm the CEO, and I'm making millions. And it qualifies me for the round table. But my only expertise is in pooper scooper manufacturing, and I haven't displayed any social skills or anything, but I get to sit on the round table and then dictate to the governor that's what she should veto and what she shouldn't. And my only qualification is that I got lucky and was smart enough to manufacture a robotic pooper scooper. This is what it appears, and they don't, it's not right. Business leaders is one thing, but when you step out of line and start to invoke your authority based on people's private lives, their freedoms, and the religious part. Francis Oda is involved in this process,
isn't he? He is. Francis Oda is, of course, the president and CEO of the International Transformation Network, and
right.
very involved in their local group, Transformation Hawaii, which is now Hawaii Hei Nalu.
And Hawaii Family Forum.
And he is the president and principal officer of Hawaii Family Forum, and he has been a leader in opposing equality, specifically HB 444.
He's also involved in the Hawaiian Island Ministries.
Correct.
So, and when you look at this, folks, you go out and you just Google Francis Oda HIM, not him, but Hawaii Island Ministries. And if you want to Google that, and Google a few of these names, they all, Miriam Howard, Ellerich, she was there. She's in the HIM. But she, these are people, not only are they involved in business, they're finding their tentacles in government.
Well, you know, I support, and Hawaii Citizens, of course, supports the First Amendment. Everyone should have a voice in government. And, of course, you know, I want to clarify that we are not, you know, advocating religious discrimination. Mm-hmm. Everyone can have their own religious beliefs. But what they can't do is impose their personal religious beliefs on others, which is what I see HB 444 doing in particular, and what I see the Hawaii Family Forum doing with tax-free dollars. I don't have a problem with business leaders, you know, expressing their views. I have a problem with our elected officials saying that, oh, because this person is a business leader, because they are important, you know, in the community, that their view means more than this one individual.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give Governor Linda Lingle some credit for accepting input. She asked for input from all sectors of the community regarding HB 444. Whether or not she's paid attention to it, I don't know. But the fact that everyone has a voice, I think it's unfortunate that that many people feel disenfranchised, that unless you're part of an organization or part of a large, powerful company, you feel like you really don't have a voice. And that's really the fault of our elected officials, that they pay more attention to the rich and powerful than they do to the individual.
If I could ask the two of you, this recent statement by Calvin Say, and I want you to understand for me now, whether you Republican, Democrat, if you're an American and you're in legislative process, then you better do what's right by the people, for the people, period. I don't care what party you're in. I'll talk about you until the sun falls from the sky. So Calvin Say's decision yesterday to decide that about the veto, he called the veto off, or the possibility. I'm misspeaking.
He basically said there's not going to be a special session.
Right.
And as, in his position as Speaker of the House, I guess he has that authority.
How does that work for you guys? I mean, what's your, can you share an opinion? I have my own, but
I am absolutely appalled by it, because he's abdicating his responsibility as Speaker. He's basically said it time and time again, oh, it's an election year, it's an election year. I'm sorry, I didn't realize you didn't get paid this year. You were elected to do a job, you were elected to be there. For him to abdicate his responsibility to even, for one person to be able to say, okay, that's it, the system's down for the checks and balances when it comes to this, is just outright disgusting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've talked to a couple different legislators, and they said nothing's written in stone until Tuesday. And so I encourage everybody to call Calvin and say, you know what, do your job, show up. There's several bills on that. It's not just HB 444 that's on the line. There's the human sex trafficking bill that's
right
out there that could be vetoed.
Right.
And there's other bills out there that do need at least the propriety of some type of deliberance if Governor Lingle does choose to veto those bills. And they
right
should be at least given that opportunity. And at this point, with him saying no, there is none, it smacks of him not doing his job.
It's why people get feel both disenfranchised from the political process and get disillusioned with it, because what they're seeing is back dealing. They're seeing vote counting, they're seeing their voices not being heard, and they're seeing politicians getting together and deciding what's going to happen without public input. And I think that can be very have a very chilling effect on democracy.
Now, what I'd like to see when they make that call that you're asking to call and say to express their opinions to Calvin Say and other leaders, while they're at it, say goodbye to Say. This man has proven he cares nothing about, and I mean for people that are Democratic voters and all, they need to take a good look. And these guys have gotten too powerful, and when you display this kind of arrogance and insensitivity, you need to be out managing your musubi business at 7-Eleven. You don't need to be in government. And Calvin Say has overstayed his welcome. And I'll say that to anybody, Democrat, Republican, and if there's people in Republican Party, Independent, we need a change, folks. And this is a perfect example. Forget the bill itself, HB 444, but his arrogance. And I'm sitting there reading this and thinking, you got to be kidding me. I thought this was America. This is the 50th state in America, and this guy is behaving like it's his own little kingdom. We need to send him a note, an exit note. Good night.
you know, like they do on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Or the, you
Bode
you're the weakest. You're the weakest. No, the weakest link. You're the weakest link. You know, and this is has infiltrated. This thinking of superiority amongst our leaders has shown itself in many instances, and we need to address that, because free people shouldn't have to vote and then be told, well, we're not going to have a special session. We're going to take one element out of the process, of a free process, of a democratic process. I've chosen not to do that. One man.
And I'd like to encourage your listeners that when they go to the polls this November to remember that don't elect a person just because they want to get reelected. Elect somebody who's going to represent you.
Yeah. Good morning, Aaron. You there? You got a comment, a question?
Yeah, I just had a few things to say about the whole family.
Turn your radio down, brother. You want to hear us and yourself, so you got it.
I just wanted to say a few things about the Hawaii Family Forum and their taxes and privileges. I think so. It should be revoked simply because, you know, I was at the Capitol a few times when they were rallying, and they're using their funding to pay for buses to haul all these people down, taxes and money to feed these people. You know, at churches, my friend goes to a church where they're advertising on their screens after church ceremony, we're going to all head down to the Capitol, jump in the bus, and let's go down and rally against HB 444. And this is money they're using to dictate certain laws in the state of Hawaii, money that they're not even being taxed on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's appalling to see that these people don't have to pay taxes, but yet they're dictating what kind of laws we should have in the state of Hawaii. And mm-hmm. as far as Dennis Arakaki, I personally spoke to him a few times at the state capitol, and I spoke to him in regards to the allegations of child molestation. He personally told me that there were allegations against him for child molestation, but he was never convicted. But these are the types of people out there at the Capitol from the Hawaii Family Forum trying to dictate what kinds of laws we should have for citizens of Hawaii.
Well,
I just wanted to point a few of the stuff about.
Let's go back and address one thing. Now, that statement about the molestation, that stands on your comments and your because you have any documentation, a specific scenario where you were talking to him, I think, and with respect to anybody, I wouldn't want anybody calling up on a radio show and saying that I told them that I was a molester. So I give you some great cautions and warning.
Right. Yeah.
I know the desire is to say things and maim and cut the legs from under people, and I know you'd like to, but, you know, I would ask you to, if you call again, refrain from that, because there's no validity to that, and, you know, no way of pointing it out. And I just think that that's what we're fighting, people that are homophobic and say anything and destroy the lives of others, and that's exactly what we... So anyway, I thank you for your comment.
Aaron, thank you very much for your comments regarding the tax exempt status of Hawaii Family Forum. You're right, it is not, it's not fair that some organizations claim to be nonprofits. They do no charitable programs whatsoever, and yet they get all the benefits of being tax exempt, whereas other organizations, many of whom are in favor of HB 444, are not nonprofits. They are paying taxes on their contributions and their organization's expenditures. I want to clarify that our 13-page complaint includes over 200 pages of exhibits, that all the information that we are that we are claiming was gleaned from publicly available documents, that this is all supported. We're not just making, you know, rash claims. Oh, I see these buses coming up to the state capitol. They must be cheating on their taxes. No, we have reviewed their documents very closely and found extremely sloppy reporting. A lot of there's inconsistencies between what they're reporting to the IRS, what they're reporting to the Hawaii State Ethics Commission, and what they're telling their own supporters that they do. And that's why we felt obligated to file this complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your support, Aaron.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And we're going to talk more specifically about this complaint that you have, because there's some interesting tidbits in here. But first of all, Ed, good morning. How are you? You got a question or statement for the guest?
I got two questions or comments.
All right.
A comment regarding that last caller regarding the past legislator who was charged for sexual molestation of a member in his house.
Well, we don't know that. I don't have a document.
That was in the newspapers, and after that, nothing was ever heard.
Okay.
There was no follow-up.
Which paper did you see it in?
It was on both newspapers.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because...
No, I heard. This is a fact.
Okay.
He was charged, but nothing ever came out of it. It was, I guess, on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to separate church thing, why is when a state project or building or legislature begins that a blessing is allowed by a I'm a Kekeo guy, by a kahu or a chant is made, which is a religious introduction to the start of a project or building, which is done by a Hawaiian priest. I consider that as violating the church and state statute. Maybe your guest could comment on
that. Well, I'll let them talk to that. I have some opinions, but they're my guests. I'll be...
I agree with you with that. I don't believe that they should... Whenever a government building is being opened and they do the blessing, I would tend to have a less harsher term if it was a Native Hawaiian, a solely, purely Native Hawaiian, to honor the heritage of the land that we are on. But when you see some of these people that they bring out, they are Christianized versions of the Hawaiian, and I find it really appalling that they've embraced their oppressor when they come, because the Christians came in and they took away their language, they took away their history, they attempted to, and we're seeing a resurgence now. But to go back to that, it is a violation, as far as I'm concerned, of the separation of church and state to the nth degree. And this is where you see they do an encroachment here. It's okay here. Then it's okay when they think they can do it anywhere else. If you allow them one pass, it just builds upon each other.
And Michael brought up a good point. It's almost always Christian. And the implication is, especially when this is, again, if it's a private entity, if it's a private building, a private groundbreaking, that's one thing. But what we're seeing on TV is we're seeing a Christian minister brought in to bless a fire truck, brought in to bless a public building being constructed or being finished. And that gives the implication that we are that Christianity is the religion of the state, and that is incorrect. And you're right, the separation of state and church needs to be much more defined, especially amongst our lawmakers, and we would definitely like to look into this issue.
I would say that the blessing is also used for the opening and closing of the legislature.
Exactly.
We have Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church has been protesting that. There is an invocation that they give. We recently got the Honolulu City Council to stop giving Christian prayers at the beginning of their council meetings, and we are working, we are fighting the Senate and the House for giving exclusively Christian prayers, secular prayers. If they want to do an invocation, that can be, non-secular prayers. If they want to do an invocation, that's fine, but it can't be specific to any religion. It just needs to be a generic invocation.
Yeah, of course it's in Hawaiian, too. Do you know what they're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
The ones in Hawaiian are the least offensive.
Well, and except for when they translate the Lord's Prayer into Hawaiian and then try to pass that off as a culturally diverse prayer. And I'm like, no, that doesn't really meet the muster at all.
Well, good. Ed, thank you.
That's my comment. Thank you.
Hey, thanks again. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, this is quite interesting, but what takes the cake with me is that these politicians have their campaign headquarters blessed.
Yeah.
Private is in the eye of the person looking.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, you're going to serve all people, the Buddhists, the Christians, the Jews, the Catholic,
the non-religious.
So I, and it's not private. When because he's trying to get into our business. If they were going to open a campaign committee house to run Kmart, fine, that's your business. You do what you want. That's the joy of this democracy. But when your destination is the people's place and the people's business, it's no such thing.
Well, and you have to wonder who's paying this individual to give the blessing.
Yeah.
Now, at the state capitol, what we have is we have an invocation that's been given at the opening of the state senate, and I've reviewed a number of them, and they're almost exclusively Christian. Many times they quote from the Bible, and often the person giving the invocation, the Christian minister, starts out by saying, "This is an honor and a privilege to be here to address the legislators."
Now, real quick, because I would hate like the Dickens to have you come in and we don't talk specifically about some of the things. On one of the page two, as I've printed off, HFF was founded in 1998 to advocate and lobby for a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage in the state of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell, I mean, this is one of your, you use this as a, tell the public
well,
more about that.
Well, as far as we can tell, that what had happened is the Hawaii Catholic Conference, which is in fact the lobbying arm of the Roman Catholic Church of
mm-hmm.
Hawaii. So the Catholic Church was very much opposed to same-sex marriage in Hawaii, but they were having a hard time getting evangelical Christians to join them. Not that evangelical Christians weren't opposed to same-sex marriage, but they did not want to enter into an alliance with the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church formed this organization called the Hawaii Family Forum, and formed it as a group of evangelicals to join them in the fight against same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that fight, they have continued it in opposing civil unions and other equality legislation since 1998.
So this is the cornerstone. No matter what they say about all of the adoption process and how they want this and that, in their documents, as you have found, 1998, it's in your document here, you're saying that your exhibit 2 is actually in the complaint. It's right here.
Yeah, their brochure.
Their brochure, and then they openly claim that they're out to prevent same-sex marriage. So no matter what they say, whatever they represent today is...
Well, and I want to clarify regarding lobbying, okay? And organizations and churches can lobby up to a certain extent. And, of course, if you are issue-oriented, for example, if the Hawaii Family Forum were just talking about preserving the sanctity of marriage, that would not be considered lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they are advocating against a particular bill, namely HB 444 in this case, and they are contacting both elected officials and their supporters and saying, vote no on this particular bill, and they're telling their supporters to
mm-hmm.
contact their elected officials to vote no. That is lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they just said, we support the sanctity of marriage, that would not be considered lobbying.
Well, I'm sure glad you're able to speak and put a whole new expression to this in a face, because the tidbits we read, we don't get to understand, and that's why it's nice to have you here, available to make statements to the public calling in. And I guess we have another caller and commenter. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I haven't listened to this program before, but the host, what is your background, your religious background, how you managed to get on the radio? Because I know it costs at that station are anywhere between, if you're doing once a week, it's about between $600 and $1,000 a month.
Well, Anthony, I don't know what to tell you, but what I'll do is extend an invite, and then we can talk about that, and if you want to contribute to the...
Well, okay, now I've got to do something about the subject.
Wait, we don't... This is not Fox TV. This is the Carol Cox Show. We are sensible and speak, so you won't outspeak me, I'll shut you off. So we don't argue here. What is your comment?
Okay, you going to let me comment?
Well, whoa.
I mean, because I know you guys got the buttons, and you keep clicking me off. And
go ahead.
I'd like to go back to one thing, back to one of the other callers about Aaron saying that I think my side deserves a big round of applause. But we have this huge corporation over here, for lack of a better term, a Hawaii Family Forum. We're using all these churches, busing these people in, and you get down there, and these people don't understand why they're there. But we were able to stand up to them, fight this fight, and to get us where we are today with against these insurmountable odds. The bill was dead on January 29th. We did not stop, and we were able to do it through individuals following the law.
Mm-hmm.
We followed the law Francis Oda wears all these different hats, but they're all the same, doing the same thing. We had all these different groups coming together to make this point, to get our bill heard, mm-hmm. to get our point across, and we did it without breaking the law. And I think my side deserves a round of applause just on that alone, no matter what happens on July 6th.
Okay, we're coming down to the wire, and I love people like Anthony and would love to talk extensively with them, but at this point, I'm not on trial.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my background, this is about an entity, an institution that we're discussing. So, you know, Anthony, you're more than welcome to call back any time, but civil is civil, and you don't get me to get in a fight with you. I have no fight here.
I don't see where your religious background has any bearing on you know, the comments that you're making. I mean, this is all, you know, we're discussing factual issues, mm-hmm. and I think it's unfortunate that everyone wants to couch everything in religious language. You know, Hawaii citizens has often been accused of being, you know, anti-Christian, mm-hmm. and the problem is that we do tend to attack the Christian entities for encroaching mm-hmm. on the state, because they're the ones that are pushing. You don't have the Buddhists, you know, forcing their prayers.
Mm-hmm. Well, real quickly, how can people contact you and Mike, real quick?
Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church. Just Google it. You can also Google HCSSC. And I would like to tell your listeners that the IRS Form 990 is something that is made public by all nonprofits, and mm-hmm. that they can access that online, and that nonprofits do have to provide their 990 informational filings to anyone who requests them. And it's a great way to find out about a nonprofit.
And for PFLAG, you can check us out at pflagoahu.org. In the GLBT Caucus, just Google us on, and we're also available on Facebook for both organizations. And we're going to be marching in tomorrow's parade in Kailua.
And tomorrow, the vote, the governor makes her decision of the fall.
Tuesday.
Not tomorrow, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And please keep us updated, and we'll do another show, and then maybe we can sit down and talk about our religious background, because you look to me, you look like Presbyterian, Catholic, and I don't know. No.
Well, that's just it. You can't tell by looking.
Who cares? The thing is to love everybody and do what's right by everybody. That's the real key. If you can't do that, then whatever you wear, whatever label you wear, you got a problem.
It's all about equality, isn't it?
Yeah. And loving the other fellow, and let him alone, and let your spiritual leader sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
He's much smarter, or she's much smarter than all of us. So anyway, thank you for joining me. And we're going to close out Holly Huber, and I'm just going to have to start calling you Michael Juice, because that name, my tongue, I'm a Southern boy. But thank you again, both of you, and we're going to close out the Carol Cox Show, carol@carolcox.com, and thank you. And one of the things I have to share with you real quick, talking about hatred, I am troubled that our senior senator, Daniel Inouye, would embrace and proclaim that he is a good friend and the best friend of Robert Byrd. Robert Byrd, as you know, was a Ku Klux Klansman. Yes, we can get rid of our past, but look at the people that he impacted, the Jews, the blacks, and others. So I'm sorry, Senator Inouye, you need to get back on the bus with us and leave it be. Ku Klux Klansmen can't ever be your friends. At least in my mind. Thank you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.